Would you pray with me? Holy God, thank you for your word. May each of us hear in it the truth you want us to hear. The truth that will set us free. The truth that will help us to trust you and to live our lives in trust. And then give us the strength and the will to follow that truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A man lived on Long Island. And one day he was able to satisfy a lifelong ambition for himself. He purchased a very fine barometer. Now, when the instrument arrived at his home, he was extremely disappointed to find that the indicating needle appeared to be stuck. Stuck on the sector marked hurricane. After shaking the barometer very vigorously several times, its new owner sat down and wrote a scorching letter to the store from which he had purchased the instrument. And the following morning, on the way to his office in New York, he mailed the letter. That evening, he returned to his Long Island home to find not only the barometer missing, but the whole house itself. Because the barometer's needle had been right. There was a hurricane. He could not believe that the barometer was telling the truth. In the end, he found out it was telling the truth. But it was too late for everything that he owned. It was already gone in the ocean or someplace, including the barometer itself. And I thought of that story as I thought about our Genesis passage today, because I think we kind of have the same type of thing happening if we really think about what is being said to Abram. Abram is giving a promise that he will have a child and many descendants. Now remember, Abram's quite an old fellow at this point. And God makes a covenant with Abram to make this happen. Now, how would you respond if someone you knew said these same kinds of things to you? Well, I know I'm old, but, you know, God promised me that I'm going to have a child and my descendants are going to number like the stars in the heaven. We probably would feel that person was kind of bordering on crazy talk. Now, when I talk about crazy talk, when I talk about insanity, I'm not talking about emotional or mental issues, but I'm talking about people whose ideas seem so ludicrous that we just automatically say, that's insane. What people say and do sometimes makes them seem insane. But we would never say that Abraham was insane. What's the difference between faith and insanity? In a blog on our Genesis passage, the Reverend Nadia Boltz Weber writes the following. Abram looked with his elderly eyes to the multitude of stars in the sky and believed God's promise of progeny. But some of these people who believe crazy stuff with all their hearts die castrated in their bunks wearing red white Nikes while the Hale-Bopp comet streaked by a sky filled with countless stars. How can we know if we are crazy like Noah or crazy like Jim Jones? Will you say Noah was right? Fine. But what separates the great heroes of faith from those who got it wrong? Chance? Accident of history? Truth? The fact is, both Noah and David Koresh claimed that God had given them special instructions for the future of humankind. And on this side of the story, one guy is a hero. And the other guy, kind of crazy. A lot is being said today about what Christianity is, what it believes. Or should I say, about what Jesus said was true. What is faith? What is trust? What is crazy talk? Faith or trust in God is often seen as crazy because it is often seen as so contrary to how we think the world works. We look at the life of Christ, and to those in His time, what He said often seemed like insanity. I mean, He ended up dead on a cross. What kind of Son of God ends up dead on a cross? Now, we have hindsight. We know the rest of the story. So how do we decide, though, in the present, what is something we can trust and what isn't? Well, the very first thing we have to do is test what we are hearing or seeing with the words and the life of Jesus Christ. In his book Awareness, The Perils of and Opportunities of Reality, the late Father Anthony DeMello tells the story of that was told by the former Archbishop of Milan, Cardinal Martini. And the story goes that an Italian couple is getting married. They have an arrangement with the priest to have a little reception in the parish courtyard outside the church. But it rained, and they couldn't have the reception. So they said to the priest, "Would it be all right if we had a reception in the church?" Now, Father wasn't one bit happy about having a reception in the church. But they said, "We will eat a little cake, we will sing a little song, and we will drink a little wine, and then go home." So Father was persuaded. But being a good, life-loving Italian, they drank a little wine, sang a little song, drank a little more wine, sang a few more songs. And within a half hour, there was a great celebration going on in the church. And everyone was having a great time, lots of fun and frolic. The Father was all tense, pacing up and down in the sacristy, all upset about the noise they were making. And the assistant pastor comes in. And he says, "You see, you're quite tense." "Of course I'm tense. Listen to all that noise they're making. And in the house of God, for heaven's sake." "Well, Father, they had no place to go." "I know that, but do they have to make all that racket?" "Well, we mustn't forget, must we, Father, that Jesus himself was once present at a wedding." Father says, "I know that Jesus was present at a wedding banquet. You don't have to tell me that Jesus was present at a wedding banquet. But they didn't have the Blessed Sacrament there." Whoops. For those that might not be in on Catholic lingo, that's the bread of the host, the body of Christ. You know, there are times when the Blessed Sacrament becomes more important than Jesus. Or to put it in our terms, there are times that our perceptions of Jesus become more important than Jesus himself. We want a God, a Jesus who's domesticated to our specifications, to our understanding of sanity. The same is true for every person, which makes it a lot of fun. And I say that with a little sarcasm. But you know, that is why humility is so important in our trust in God. Humility is a recognition that no one, not even us, has all the answers. When someone or we ourselves have dreams or visions, ideas, we need to first lay them side by side with the gospel account and see if there are any discrepancies. Even if they are seen as crazy. You know, Jesus said, "Faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain." And I'll be honest, there are times when I was younger, I thought, "Yeah, that's really crazy. I can just think, hey, God, move the mountain, and it moves." But then as I've thought about it over the years, if a person wants to move a mountain and believe that it can be done, Then they grab a shovel, share their vision with other people in our day and age, get a few bulldozers, and that mountain can be moved. And it takes faith that it can happen. We have a perfect illustration right here in Long Hill Township, because there was a time that they were going to take Long Hill and put it in the swamp to build an airport. In many cases, time will tell if a vision is crazy or not. But we, until then, we have a responsibility to test those words, those visions, those ideas against the words of Scripture and the life of Christ. And this is so important today as we listen to the discourse going on today about who is Christian and who is not. There are a lot of ideas about what Christ would do or think today, and they don't all agree. We have a responsibility to listen, to reflect, to compare. In her book, Speaking of Faith, Why Religion Matters and How to Talk About It, Krista Tippett writes, "What most of us surely want, whether we are religious or not, is for the religious voice in our public life to be more constructive, to reflect the capacity religion has to nourish lives and communities. I reject the kind of sweeping prognostication that has become popular in recent years and fueled fear and paranoia, doomsday scenarios of impending theocracy, phrases like a clash of civilizations. Faith is as much about questions as it is about answers. It's possible to be a believer and a listener at the same time, to be both fervent and searching, to honor the truth of one's convictions and the mystery of the convictions of others." I love that, the mystery of the convictions of others. "The context of most religious virtue is relationship. Practical love in families and communities and care for the suffering and stranger beyond the bounds of one's own identity." Now, to some, part of that seems like insanity. Love for strangers that you don't even know? Relationship with strangers that you don't even know? But then, there were people, good people, who thought Jesus was crazy at the time, in his day. Even his own family at times. However, we know he wasn't, because we have hindsight. The luxury of that. So who do we trust today? Whose words can we trust? Do they have the truth, or are they just crazy? Is the barometer broken, or is it telling reality? Only time will tell, but in the meantime, we have some work to do. Listen, study the Scriptures, and be humble and gentle with our own beliefs. We know we can trust God and Jesus to guide us, otherwise we would not be here. Abraham did, and his descendants number with the stars. Amen.